Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South as you go out of the Boone city limits. I think it's 3 miles from the red light on 105. And then you have Baird's Creek Road on the right, 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road. And we have Sunday school for all ages, Sunday mornings at 10. Our Sunday morning worship service and preaching is at 11 a.m. Second and fourth Sunday nights at 6. We have our Sunday night service. And then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. We are just now finishing up. Well, I say finishing up. We're in the last chapter, the last verses of the book of James, chapter number 5. So we've been in that right now a year. We've been studying the book of James. And boy, it's really been a help to me in my Christian life. And we'll start another study probably just after the new year. So we're here today. And it's a privilege to come this way every week at this same time. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us, and he's running the board, and I appreciate him and his help on the radio work.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We appreciate our listeners out there. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
Appreciate that, Noah, and we do enjoy hearing from our listeners from time to time. I want to take just a minute and let you know once again about our book that we're offering. And this is just a love gift to the radio ministry through the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. But we have a devotional. Now, the new year is coming up. And a lot of times I'll get me a devotional book and I'll just read through that book in the following year. And January 1st is a great time to start a new devotional book. And I have written a book. It's called Today's Proverb. It's a daily devotional, as we've said. It's a year of godly wisdom. It is one devotional for every day of the year out of the book of Proverbs. And the thing about it is, if it's the 5th, it'll be out of Proverbs chapter 5. If it's the 12th, it'll be out of Proverbs chapter 12. That way, whatever day of the month it is, you read that chapter in the book of Proverbs. So on the 1st, I'll read Proverbs chapter 1, and there'll be a devotional out of that chapter. Then in February, first day of the month, it'll be the same thing. So you're reading through the book of Proverbs 12 times, and then you've got these devotions to go along with it. And I've encouraged people for years and years to read a chapter a day out of the book of Proverbs. So Christmas is coming up. That'd be a great gift. And we have that available for a love gift of $18 towards the radio ministry, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And our address is 1128 Baird's Creek Road, and that is B, Baird's with a B, and that is Vilas, North Carolina, 28692. And just send your address, and we'd just be happy to send that to you in the mail. And so we wanted to mention that. We've been studying signs of the times. I want to just give a quick review of signs of the times we've been looking at, and we are up to number 8 today. And we've been going through signs of the times. There's a book called Dispensational Truth. It was copyrighted in 1918. And back a couple of months ago, I was studying and I come across this at the end of this book. It's the last chapter in the book. And I thought how interesting it would be to go through those signs 100 years ago and just compare them to today and see, boy, are these signs really, can we see them? Are they identifiable in our society? Or is this just something that is way off base? Well, we've seen week by week these different signs of the times. A lot of times Christians will say, they'll say, well, it's just a sign of the times. Something might happen. It's a sign of the times. Well, what does that mean? We have been working our way down to 10 signs of the times. We said, first of all, there's scoffers concerning the Lord's return, mocking the Lord's return. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? People will say, I've heard that all my life. Well, we see that. Number two, widespread apostasy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3 says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that's where we get our word apostasy from. And verse 1 is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the last days, there's going to be days of apostasy. We see that today. We see much frequency. We see the fervency of apostasy, much departure from the truth. Then we said, number three, there's false teachers, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. We said, number four, there's the rise of spiritualism in the last days, all things demonic, a fascination with the occult, the underworld, vampires, demons, all kinds of things along those lines. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then number 5, we said perilous times. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in weak days, dangerous days. Then we said James chapter 5, verse 3, ye have, talking about James to the rich men, he said, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. And we talked about the economy in the last days, heaped up treasure. Last week we looked at the Laodicean church, and that's from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Now, we're going to have to quickly go along if we're going to get in our study today. Number 8, sign of the times, Mr. Larkin says, the fig tree sign. And I just want to read what he says about the fig tree sign. What is, according to the Bible, the fig tree sign? Mr. Larkin said in his book, when Jesus' disciples asked him, after he had foretold the destruction of the temple, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. Jesus gave as a sign of his coming the fig tree sign. The fig tree symbolizes the nation of Israel and its budding, the revival of Israel as a nation. Then Mr. Larkin says, here again, we have evidence of the nearness of the Lord's return for the revival of Zionism and the passing of the land of Palestine into the hands of a Christian nation opens the way for the restoration of the Jews to their own land and the fulfillment of the fig tree sign. The fact that the city of Jerusalem surrendered without the firing of a shot is significant. Jesus said that Jerusalem was to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles should be fulfilled, Luke 21:24. And the taking of Jerusalem at this time may signify that the times of the Gentiles is drawing to a close. Now, I'm going to say just a few things about what Mr. Larkin was referring to, and here's what is significant about this this paragraph in this book about the fig tree sign. You have to keep in mind that when Mr. Larkin wrote this book, and he's writing about signs of the times, and he comes to the sign of the fig tree. Mr. Larkin wrote his book, and Israel was not a nation when he penned these words. These words are written purely in faith of what the Word of God says about the nation of Israel. But he refers to a few things that were going on in his day. Now, this book, he says in the very beginning, 30 years' work. So we're going back into the late 18 and the early 1900s when Mr. Larkin is writing about the fig tree sign and the rest of the book. And he refers here to the nation of Israel. He said, "Here again, we have evidence of the nearness of the Lord's return for the revival of Zionism and the passing of the land of Palestine into the hands of a Christian nation." Now, what Mr. Larkin is referring to that was happening in the late 18, early 1900s, he's talking about the control of the land of Palestine. It passes from the Ottoman Empire, which is modern-day Turkey, into the control of the British Empire, which is modern-day England, Britain. And that is what took place. There was also what he refers to a revival of Zionism. Now, Zionism, when we're looking at it historically, is the movement for the Jewish people to be moved back into or be granted their homeland. That's what Zionism was at the beginning, and there were many Christians at that time that were behind this movement that petitioned different governments of the world, Britain and America at that time, that the Jews should be in their homeland, the land of Palestine. And so Mr. Larkin is referring to this revival of Zionism. He said, "In the passing of the land of Palestine into the hands of a Christian nation," he's referring there to the British Empire. He said, "It opens the way for the restoration of the Jews to their own land in the fulfillment of the fig tree sign." And so this revival of Zionism, this passing of the control of the land of Palestine from a Muslim nation, the Ottoman Empire, into the control of the British Empire, which he refers to as a Christian nation, that paved the way for the establishment of the modern day of Israel, which did not take place until 1948. And so we have today, we're looking at Israel from the other side of history. Mr. Larkin was looking from the scriptures and what the Bible said, but now here we are 100 years removed from Mr. Larkin's time, and we're looking back at the nation of Israel. And today, the tiny nation state of Israel is continually in the news as far as nations go, and they have been for 65 years now. There's never a day goes by that the nation of Israel is not in the headlines of the news concerning the nations of the world. Israel, I don't know about the age of other nations, but this is a very young nation as far as nations go. And Israel is a world leader in many ways. In her few short years of a modern-day existence, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. They have a top-notch, state-of-the-art military. I don't believe there's probably things they have that nobody knows about, but everything that they do have is top-notch. Economically, they are a leader in the world. Now, most of the nations are having trouble, no doubt about that, but Israel is not going anywhere. Technologically, I read an article a while back about a few years ago, the technology boom, electronics, how that there was out in California, they referred to that as, and it just slipped my mind what what that was referred to, but that was a growing place for technology. Well, the same thing now is over in Israel. It's amazing how many countries, how many corporations, big corporations, influential in the world, have headquarters in the nation of Israel. They're a leader in technology. Medically, they're a leader and always have been. Agriculturally, just as the Word of God says, the desert shall bloom as a rose. And Israel, once upon a time, a desert, that land around there, now much agriculture, much food comes out of that, out of the limited space that they have. It's amazing what they do with what they have. Yet there are those, and I say foolishly, that deny the nation of Israel. Many of their neighbors, the Muslim countries, when they're teaching their children about Israel, well, they don't. They won't even put Israel up on a map. And so, but how can you deny the existence of the nation of Israel? Israel is alive, thriving, doing quite well, and is not going to go anywhere. And so it's a fact. It is a fact of life. It is there for all to see. Now, Matthew chapter number 24 is a gold mine as far as prophetic study is concerned. We're going to read some from Matthew chapter number 24. Maybe you will recognize some of this scripture, but prophetically speaking, this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Matthew 24 verse 1, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, what if you went to Washington, D.C., and you took a tour of all the main sites up there, and you went to the White House, and you saw the Capitol building, and you saw the Jefferson Memorial, and the Washington Monument, and the Lincoln Memorial? And I've never been, but I suppose that they're all sort of close together there, and maybe there's a place where you can get and just view all of these monuments and all these great buildings that represent the nation of America. And so you go and you are looking around, and somebody says, all of these are going to be destroyed. There's going to be nothing left, not one stone upon another. It's all going to be completely, utterly destroyed. Now, that would be hard for you to believe, because you're standing there and you're looking at it. It's right before your very eyes. Even if you believe the person that told you that, it would be hard to believe, because it's hard for us to imagine something like that taking place. So we read in Matthew chapter number 24 that the disciples and the Lord Jesus, they are outside the temple, and they're looking at all the buildings, the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus says, there will not be left one stone upon another. That was a major prophecy that he made, that there they are, and the temple was magnificent. You talk about a building. If you study about even Herod's temple, how great and magnificent it was, and Jesus says, it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to be torn down. Well, you know what happened if you know your history. It was destroyed within 40 years of the Lord Jesus Christ making that prophetic statement exactly as the Lord Jesus said. Jerusalem was destroyed, the Roman Emperor Titus, in the year AD 70. And I was studying about this back a couple of months ago, and it's interesting that Titus, they had some options. There was a siege against Jerusalem, and they weren't making any headway. And they decided, of all their options, that what they would do would be to sort of make a final attack. But Titus said, don't destroy the temple. He had seen it, and its magnificence and its beauty and its construction. And he said, whatever you do, you know, we want to save the temple. We want to save as much of Jerusalem as we can. But in war, one thing leads to another. There was a fire that was started. Titus himself ran in and tried to stop, but he couldn't stop the motion of the battle, and Jerusalem was destroyed exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ said it was. The temple was destroyed exactly the way that the Lord Jesus Christ said it would be. Now, the fact of fulfilled prophecy should cause us to pay attention to the rest of what Jesus said. This has already happened, what Jesus talked about in verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And he goes on down. He talks about false prophets, false Christs. The last days are going to be characterized by much deception. He said in verse number 6, "And ye shall hear," how's it going to be near the end of the age? "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." That's been the story of my whole life. I'm not that old, but all I've ever known, all I've ever heard is wars and rumors of wars. Most of the people listening, most of the younger generation, that's all we've ever heard. It's one thing after another after another. I remember just after I had joined the United States Air Force, I was up at the old Watauga High School, and we were out on the baseball field, and here I am. I've just signed on the dotted line. I'm committed. And somebody came out on the baseball field and said that war had broken out in the Persian Gulf. And I remember now thinking to myself, what have I got myself into? You know, that same area of the world is still in much trouble and turmoil and controversy even today. And it's going to be right up through the end of this age. Wars and rumors of wars, not just anywhere in the world, but in that specific area of the world. And then verse number 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, for the sake of time, I've got to skip on down to verse 32, the fig tree sign. Verse number 32. Now, in the Bible, Israel is a type of fig tree, or a fig tree is a type of Israel. Verse 32 said, "Now learn," Jesus speaking still along this same subject, "now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." The fig tree in Scripture is Israel. And here Jesus makes a prophecy talking about the fig tree, and it's beginning to bud. It's springtime. It's coming back to life. "You know that summer is nigh." When it begins to come back to life, you know you're near the return of the Lord Jesus. That's the application. That's what he is teaching in the fig tree sign. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 37, saw a valley of dry bones. And he went out, and the Lord told him to prophesy over those bones. That was the nation of Israel. And those bones came back together. Flesh came upon them, and they spoke. That also is a type of the nation of Israel coming back to life after being scattered among the nations of the world. Well, Jesus said in verse number 33, "So likewise," here's the comparison to the fig tree, "so likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." When you see Israel begin to come to life again, you should know that the coming of the Lord is near. This is probably the most specific sign of the time. The nation of Israel coming into being again after 1,800 years of being spread among the nations of the world. There's a miracle over in the Middle East, and it's called the nation of Israel. Jesus said, "When you see this, know that it is near." He's talking about the end of the world, the end of the age, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 34, look what he said. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation that seen Israel come into being again. That is talking about those who were alive and seen this in 1948. That generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So you want to know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come? It's going to be during the time of that generation that seen Israel come to life again 65 years ago. Now, I'm not exactly sure the number. I think I'm real close here, but World War II veterans. That's the generation that seen Israel come into being, come to life again in 1948. That generation, World War II veterans, are dying at a rate of somewhere between 750 to 1,000 people on average every single day. It won't be long till that generation, just like the generation, I don't believe there's a World War I veteran still alive. There was a day when all the Civil War, that generation was gone. The World War I generation is gone or just about gone. The World War II generation quickly passing off the scene. It is that generation that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about in verse number 34 when he said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now I want to go on and say, I'm not date setting. You want to know where the verse is that says no man knows the hour nor the day? Well, it's the next two verses. And so we can know, according to the Bible, that it is near, according to verse number 33, but we do not know the hour or the day. Verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only the Father knows the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that is just so interesting to me. Speaks to my heart. While we're here, quickly, I want to go back to verse number 9. He said over there, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There's an article in the paper today about Jews in Israel that wanted to pray at the Temple Mount. And the Muslims over there saying if they keep on with this kind of talk, and a guy, I didn't get the name, but he said if they keep on, it's going to be the end of the world. And they talked about, and it's just, this is in the news, and we're seeing it come to pass that the nations are turning against the nation of Israel. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, we see that happening. Sadly, even our own nation has forsaken the Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, blessing. Well, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When it comes to signs of the times, though, they are real, they are visible, they are observable, and they are identifiable. Verse 42 through 44, the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 24. I lost my place. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hope you're ready. That's the purpose of this study. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.